Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Is Kenny still wearing gloves?
You know it.
He's not going to take them off. Are his hands that small?
Yeah. They're not that big. He wears gloves every
day. Does he rip the ball, though? I mean,
he can spin it.
He does throw a pretty good ball. That's Deontay Johnson talking about Kenny Pickett on the Sports and Suits podcast.
And his hands are small.
Listen, guys, what is the Ants supposed to go after Deontay Johnson, too? I don't know how you get any work done during the day when you're going after all these people who are telling the truth about the size of the hands. I haven't made jokes. When's the last
time
I made jokes?
Just the fact of the matter.
When's the last time I made jokes? 2 years? It hasn't been worth making jokes about.
About hand size? Yeah.
It's been two seasons since I made jokes about hand sizes and whatnot.
You didn't make jokes to Pony? In between then? About his love affair with it?
Not that I remember. Not about like hand
he's
size.
He's kind of shown himself as everything else.
I said you backed the wrong pony. Pony is what I basically said to him. Like, hey, we all get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do like a heel turn on him basically the way Pony did. I mean, Pony basically hit him with a chair behind his back, and then that was the end of it.
The new Montana to Rice.
Yes, that's what he was calling it. That's the Pony Express. So is this season... When you hear about Deontay Johnson talking about Kenny Pickett's hand size, where, I don't know, I got people saying he's going to start week one, including Deontay Johnson. Jason Lloyd thinks he's going to start week one. I got Mike Florio saying that he's going to get traded by the time that the season starts over here. I go, what are we doing as a franchise right now? So that would be in the conversation of, well, they're tanking. That's what they're doing.
That is where they're at as a franchise.
But when you sign Myles Garrett to such a huge extension... Like, again, Miles has to be, he's 28 right now. Is that how old Miles is? So Miles has to be, he might be a little older. He has to be sensational. Bearing fruit, meaning going to the playoffs. He has to keep up this pace this year and another 2 years for
Miles
them to have a chance.
29.
He's 29 years old. So you're putting him
turns 30 this year.
I'm putting him at 32 going on 33 years old. That he would have to keep up this pace for this contract to be about a future, about their future goodness as a football team.
Yes, because year and 2 years after that.
Because as of right now, don't shoot the messenger at 720, but as of right now, like, you're taking a quarterback with these two first round picks next year.
You have to be.
I'm saying until further notice.
Yes.
But I also don't think that because of what they've done, like you're openly trying to help out your younger guys. You're openly trying to help out your veteran guys because those guys are going to help out veterans too. You've kept some of these guys in your secondary that people have been wanting to wave bye to for a very long time. Greg Newsom, and people have been trying to trade him for two seasons. There's been everybody not named Denzel Ward has been brought up in trade conversations. And then there's people wondering about Denzel Ward's future. So everything that you've done constitutes a team that's trying to win, that is trying to be competitive now. Everything that people think you're going to do is at best in the middle. At best.
Yeah, because that's what this roster says, and that's what this quarterback situation says. It's all going to come back to that with me. Like, having Myles Garrett is going to make them a better football team than if they were going to try and just reinvent the process the way that they tried to do in 2017. Myles Garrett prevents that because he's that good, and I do think that this defense will be fine. Like, they're not going to be some terrible football team, but it's hard for me to see them with this schedule, especially with how the season starts off. It's hard for me to see them having the facade of being competitive or being in the hunt when they put that graphic up on CBS in week 14. That's not going to happen.
216-474-0092. Do you think that this thing is a tank without admitting it? I'm going to get to Rick in Doylestown right now. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Rick. Hey, guys. How you doing? Enjoyed the show as always.
Doing well, Rick. Thank you.
You guys just hit on something. I'll tell you what, this season I don't look at it as a tank. And simply because I don't think the defense is going to allow it to be. If you guys look at it, this defense 2 years ago was an elite, top five defense, and still has that potential this year. And you've gotten better on the defensive line. You've got yourself another nice linebacker. You've got some veterans there. So all we need is not even an average offense, just one that can get us 17 to 20 points a game. And if we get that, who knows what could happen? I mean, every year, all these teams, they're great, and then they fall off. And, yes, the schedule is tough, but I don't think these guys on the defense are going to lay down and accept this being a rebuild or a tank. And it's going to be more competitive than you think. I mean, I'm 60-some years old, so I've seen it all. But I'm a little more optimistic than I think you guys are. I look at it as a tank. Well, quarterback situation.
Realistically, Rick, stay with me for a second. I'm not trying to run you off just yet, my friend.
No.
What do you think, where can they maximize their amount of wins? Well, how many wins max do you think they have?
They could get between 7 and 9 wins.
Seven and nine.
And if you get a little lucky, you get a break here or there, you might stretch. I don't think Cincinnati, is all that great. You talk about Joe Burrow, but what do they got on the defense? They are horrendous.
I think that they have a chance to make the playoffs. Cincinnati does, Rick. I just think that they're going to lose some high scoring football games. I do not trust their defense at all.
Yeah, just like last year, they were in shootouts in every game.
Yep.
And that's where I think, like I said, our defense is pretty good. It could be back to the Jim Schwartz, outstanding defense. And if you could just get a little bit above average quarterback play, and you got 4 shots at it, let's see what happens. I think the insider is Pickett just because I think he's got the youth. I think Flacco's just hanging around as insurance, but you got to see if these kids play. You can't draft them 2 quarterbacks and not see if they don't play this year. Because I really don't want to go after another quarterback next year if I think one of them can play. And I'm a big Shador fan. So let's just see what happens. Let's have a little bit of optimism here, especially on the defensive side. Let's talk about the studs that we do have and what could possibly be. Like you said, the line is all back. Receiver scares me a little bit, but you never know.
Well, Rick, in most points, I mean, I really got to agree with you, and I thank you very much for the call. I look at what they're – you go back to the 2017 season real quick, Danny. I mean, you look at what these guys are. Now, I have the benefit of hindsight.
Right.
But your starting defense, again, you had Emmanuel Agba, who's a good player, but he's around a bunch – he's around Danny Shelton. Okay, he's around a rookie Myles Garrett.
Who was hurt?
Carl Nassib, he was hurt that year. You have Carl Nassib in there, which was an okay player, handful of years. Jason McCourty was already at the end of his career. Jabril Peppers never materialized into the type of player they really wanted him to be. You have Jamar Taylor here. You got a lot of guys that are just there
just
for
a bunch of guys.
They're there for a specific reason, is where you have a lot of these guys at. You look at their depth chart now, I don't think that these are guys that are there for a specific quote-unquote reason, which is to get you to the 2026 draft. And I think that if you're able to control the football, which is why they went on and got 2 running backs to add to this room, which is why that they're going to go back to the Kevin Stefanski offense, because that's going to be based on ball control and not turning it over and putting your defense in a bad spot. I think it's a tough start of the schedule, but you're going to have some games that you end up winning because the other teams are going to beat themselves.
You might have games like that,
but
I don't think it's the tank in the sense that they're trying to lose football games this year. But I do think it's a tank in the sense that I don't see them winning a lot of football games this year. They're not going to lose games because they didn't try and win them. They're going to lose games because they're going to play a bunch of teams that are better than them. That's what's going to happen. They play in the most difficult division in football. They play in the far more difficult conference in today's NFL and the AFC. They're behind the eight ball in terms of roster construction because of what they have going on offensively. Defensively, they're a fine football team, but in order to succeed defensively, like have your defense carry you, you need to have an elite, historically good defense or have insane turnover luck, which I suppose we cannot rule that sort of thing out. Well, they could get insane turnover
luck. It's been so bad against you for the last 2 years. You've got to think it's going to go for you this year, my God.
Maybe that is the thing. But other than that, you have to be essentially the 85 Bears on defense to carry a team to the playoffs defensively.
I don't think they're going to the playoffs.
No, you have to be great defensively in order to carry that sort of thing when you don't have an offense that is, I don't want to say it's incompetent because that's probably a little bit unfair, but you don't have an offense that you're not going to be able to go out there and score 30 points in a game to win it.
Exactly. They're not going to be explosive. Frank in Cleveland, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Good morning, fellas.
Hi, Frank.
Hey. It's definitely a tank. We not going to say it, and we know they not going to say it, but it's definitely a tank, man. And with Shedeur, man, I don't want him to start. I definitely don't because the receivers we have probably going to make him look bad. Then we got a whole other conversation that he don't look good, and ain't nobody going to blame it on the receivers. It's just, man, we really are becoming the Cleveland Clowns, man.
Hold on. Because we don't have great wide receivers, we're the Clowns?
I mean, man, we do.
There's plenty of other reasons why we could be clowns, but I don't think it's just because of the wide receivers Frank.
Everything we do make us look like the Cleveland Clowns, man. I still love us. I'm not nowhere near it against us, man. We make the offers this every year, man. We going through something, man.
So wait, do you like Shedeur? Do you like Shedeur or do you not like Shedeur?
I love Shedeur.
Then why was that a silly decision? You have to throw that into silly decisions then.
If they start him, Ken, they going to look like buttholes, and they don't want to look like buttholes.
So, they ain't going to start him. They are not going to start him week one. You know that.
Hey, man, what's so crazy is Stefanski loved to make bum quarterbacks look good, and he's probably going to make Kenny Pickett look good, and I'm scared of that.
If you are thinking that this year's a tank, then you should be terribly afraid of Kevin Stefanski with the statement you just said.
And if he come out there with that glove, is he still throwing with that glove on?
Yeah, he's gonna throw with the gloves on.
Did y'all see that Philly highlight when he tried to throw the ball and fell on his face?
Yeah, I saw that. We all saw the Philly highlight, Frank. But what you're saying? What you're saying. What you're saying is what you got to be most afraid of, Frank. And thank you very much for the call. I got to tell you this: if you think that this year's a tank to get a quarterback next year, then you got to be openly rooting against Kevin Stefanski getting anything done with that offense. Because if you think that he's making bad quarterbacks look better, that means you're going to be a middle of the road football team, and you're going to start to trick people. If he's able to protect Dylan Gabriel, or Shedeur Sanders, or Kenny Pickett, or Joe Flacco, and make them look better, then one, okay, you got a good football coach in your hands, which that's been up for debate for a while with a lot of folks, and I'm willing to hear both sides on that one. The second thing is that, no, you're going to have questions about whether or not we should just invest in Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, because I guarantee we're going to have some of the same questions with this year's class of rookies going to be coming out in 2026 that we've had in 2025. It'll be a deeper class, but we're going to have a lot of those same questions. 216-474 below 92. Is this season a tank without admitting it? We got into it yesterday, Jason Lloyd and I. Jason agreed with me about rookies starting. And there was a bit of a degree of disagreement, but overall, when you hear about, well, they're just going to start a rookie, like Daniel Jeremiah says that a rookie is going to start week one, I go, oh my God, that is just so irresponsible right now. And I don't know what they're going to show, and maybe I'll have to change my tune during training camp. But as of right now, it just feels that would just be, when you have two veterans there, one that's shown a lot and has been a Super Bowl MVP, and I know that was years and years ago, but clearly he knows what he's doing with the football to some level. And you got another guy that, yeah, you know what, he's a veteran, I don't know about him, and I don't really have a lot of hope for him, but whatever. To throw a rookie out there week one, when the last games that you really played were college-level football games, unless you're a number one overall pick or even a first-rounder. And I said that yesterday, and my whole thing is I'm trying not to make the same mistakes that the Browns had made before. And I used DeShone Kizer as that example. In a terrible quarterback room, DeShone Kizer was the best.
Yes.
And they went out and they started him, and they ruined his career before he even had a chance to get it off the ground. He probably wasn't that great to begin with, but they didn't give him any help. They didn't get him a chance, and he sucked up the room. And I don't want that to happen with Shador Sanders or Dylan Gabriel. And the Shador people got a hold of it, and they went nuts on me. And I said, and they brought up Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is the number two pick. They brought up Bo Nix. Bo Nix is a first-round pick. They brought up C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is number two overall. We're not talking about third and fifth-round picks. And all of a sudden, I realized, I go, guys, if I really wanted to upset you, I'd start yelling this. But I don't have a lot of faith in it either. I want to know more from Lance at 822 about what he knows about Dylan Gabriel, because don't shoot the messenger, guys. If you're starting a rookie quarterback week one with this football team, for them, it ain't Shador.
Dylan Gabriel. It would be the first rookie that you selected. And yes. That would be the guy, I believe, that got first round reps in organized team activities and minicamp. Like, that's the direction they would go.
I'm not trying to say that, and it kind of goes along with what Lance Zierlein is probably going to go after me for here in this little clip, without going after me specifically. But don't go after me for telling you the truth about how the Browns feel about him. Now, I feel a lot stronger about Shador Sanders than I would about Dylan Gabriel. And I would probably put Shador Sanders above him. But I ain't Kevin Stefanski, and I ain't there every damn day, and I don't see what they're doing every single day. And also, I know from good authority, meaning guys in the locker room, that Dylan Gabriel has a great grip of the offense already. That what they say about Dylan Gabriel is that, yeah, you know what? It's all true. If he were 6'3" or 6'4", he'd be a no-doubter. But he has the control of the offense. He has the smarts of the offense. Shador shows signs, but also showing signs that he doesn't know, but he wants to work for it. So if you're talking about a starter week one, you're going to go with the guy who knows the offense and knows the nomenclature.
And we shouldn't be talking about either of those guys as a starter week one.
No.
Like that is a
but
situation.
If you're talking about a week one starter, it ain't Shador.
But I think that would be coaching malpractice. When you have Joe Flacco on the roster, when you have Kenny Pickett, and I admittedly don't think either of those guys are great. But when you have those guys available to you, when you have something that at least resembles competency at that position in a veteran form, that is who needs to be starting week one. Starting Dylan Gabriel, starting Shador Sanders week one, because this is not a situation where those guys are going to be able to come in right away and just change what this football team is. If they were, it's a different story, but they're not that. Because if those guys were that, they wouldn't have been picked in the third and fifth round, respectively.
If this roster, and if they were taken in the first round, yeah, you definitely want to change your tune on this because you want them to be week one ready. If this roster is still a 7-win roster at best for a lot of folks, then I don't know what the hurry is of throwing either one of those two to the Wolves, and again, having the chance of spiking their career before it gets. And I get all these people, and I had people, yes, and Twitter reactions brought to you by Shabin Jewelers, Clooney's premier jewelry store, where you get the Shador fans in there, and I've dealt with all the fan bases before. I dealt with the Baker fans, I dealt with the Watson fans, I dealt with the Shador fans, and hopefully the Shador fans, there's a weird group of Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett fans out there too. So you deal with everyone's fan base, which I think that's part of where the sport is going, and I'll talk about that another time. So it's nothing for me to get into it with a fan base of a player, even if I like that player and I like Shador. But when I hear about, well, Browns fans, this is why the Browns are terrible. This is why the Browns media is terrible. This is why Browns fans are terrible. You're afraid of success. No, I'm afraid of ruining them. And by the way, for all the Shador fans that are just dropping in, I'm more than happy to have you while Shador Sanders is here. And hopefully it's for a good long time, because I'm tired about arguing about quarterbacks as much as anybody. Yep. You'd think I wouldn't be, and none of you believe that, but it's absolutely true. But for those of you that are just dropping in, Browns fans don't know what they're talking about. Browns media don't know what they're talking about. They're a bunch of losers. They haven't seen anything good, so they don't know success when it's right there in front of them. I'm trying to stop the previous things happening, because it's the same folks saying that who will then turn around and say, it's the Browns' fault why Shador sucked up the room. Or it's the Browns' fault why Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel went out there and sucked up the room. Because they'll do what you want.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want them to do. They'll start in week one. They'll do silly things. And then we're just left looking for the next guy. And we may very well be doing that anyway. The whole we need to see him. When do I need to see him? I need to see him. I want to see him in games. Do I need to see him in games? Because it's the Cleveland Browns, and they have as open a quarterback competition as anybody out there. So if you can't start one of these 17 games or a handful of games as Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel, then you ain't that good to begin with.
Yes.
On this team, I don't need to see it. If Kevin Stefanski, a guy who it's not on the hot seat, but by the end of the season, we will be talking about his job because that's something we've done here over the last year, and that's something we're going to do if they're not going to be a playoff team. If he doesn't trust you, if a guy whose job is going to be up against it by the end of the year, if he doesn't trust you and the teammates don't trust you, I don't need to see you. As much as I want to see you, I want to be entertained, I'm curious of what a 5'10", 5'11 quarterback, and maybe I'm being generous, I have no idea. I'm curious about what that guy can do with his arm strength, with his know-how. I'm curious, but if they don't trust him to be out there, then don't put him out there. You're only going to make the situation worse. I'm curious about Shedeur Sanders. I like what he did at both Jackson State and Colorado because I watched those games. But if they don't trust him, then these guys ain't worth it to begin with.
I also want to be able to trust the Browns and put those guys, both of them, both Shedeur and Dylan Gabriel, to be in position to be successful when they do get on the field too. And I don't think that's a week one thing. Could that be week 10? Sure. That's a different story. But I don't think that they're setting those guys up to be successful if they start them week one. At a certain point, Ken, it does have to be a sink or swim type environment for a quarterback like that. I just don't think that environment should be that early because then you are giving a much greater chance to sink than to swim. And that's not what we want for these guys. I would love nothing more than if Shedeur Sanders comes in and is great and he's the franchise quarterback and he is the guy that we have been looking at that position since 1999. But I don't think that's going to happen if you play him week one. I think there's a better chance that if the Browns wait on him or Dylan Gabriel, that, okay, then maybe they're not looking for a quarterback next year because one of those guys has a chance. If they start him week one, by week nine, you probably know that it's not going to be good enough.
Jim in Walton Hills, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Yeah.
I've only got one comment, and then I'll drop off and let you guys discuss your own end of it. But I firmly believe that Shedeur Sanders was an inside trading deal. I think that he dropped because the owners were upset with the way he acted and because of his last name.
Mm.
This guy, he's a good quarterback. He's a first-round quarterback, and we got him at a bargain basement price because he pissed somebody off. Pardon my French, but that's exactly what has happened to poor Shedeur. The guy is talented. He's got his head together, and he's going to be a great quarterback. And we're going to turn around and do the same thing to him that we did to Baker Mayfield. We're going to send him to somebody else, and they're going to beat our butts with him.
I don't know enough to accuse anybody of insider stuff. I mean, I know what we know about other players in the league. It's not like it's never been done before, for crying out loud. But I think that in this case, and Jim, thank you for the call, I do think that they have the same fear. The only way I can rationalize is they have the same fear as some college coaches when it comes to the fathers of the quarterbacks in college. And like Nico Iamaliava and some of the other ones where maybe they are afraid of Deion being upset. Maybe they are afraid of Deion mentioning them in his press conferences at Colorado. I'm not sure. That's the only one I could say. But this is Lance Zierlein here. And I want to play this audio because this is him on Maggie and Perloff yesterday on Infinity Sports Network saying that we're maybe being a little bit too soft on Shador.
I had people from the media reach out either through text message or direct message saying, man, I can't believe you said that because this is the same way I feel. But everyone was afraid of taking the heat. I mean, to be honest with you, the media is afraid of Deion, at least the national media who deals in television. They're afraid of dealing with the Deion. They're afraid of the pushback and the blowback from people on Twitter. I don't care. Like, the truth is the truth, so it doesn't matter to me.
So we talk every day with people on Twitter, and we talk every day to people on the phones. I think what Lance Zierlein says to some degree is probably right, because it's just easier to kind of go with the flow.
Right.
And it's kind of easier to go with the wind of what's been said. It's also, I mean, he is definitely a guy that comes with his set of limitations or questions. Shador does. If he didn't have any limitations or didn't have any questions, he would have been right up there with Cam Ward. Clearly, there's something there. So what Lance Zierlein says, hey, I know he's trying to talk tough. That's great. And I know he sees what he sees, and I think right now he feels justified in that. But I don't think anybody saw him fall into the fifth round. That's why I think it's so crazy to a lot of folks.
No, because if he was his perfect quarterback prospect, he would have been a first-round pick. He would have. If you want to say that there was collusion because of his last name, because of his dad, and that's part of the reason why he fell, okay, sure, like, I can buy that to some extent. I can, because I don't think that when teams view a quarterback as a backup caliber quarterback, which I think is fair to say when a guy goes in the fifth round, that's what a lot of teams probably think of him. You don't want the distraction that comes along with Shador Sanders because of the last name, because of who his father is. So I understand that aspect of things. But if teams thought that he was a franchise quarterback in this league where that position matters more than anything else, a team's not passing on him in the first round if they think he's the guy because of who his dad is. They're not sacrificing that over a last name.
I will take it this far, though, when it comes to what Lance Zierlein says. Because I'm putting words in saying that people being soft, they're afraid to critique. I think you're saying that people are being soft on him. I think here you will find more people in the media rooting for him because I think that we like a good story. One, Shador does mean a lot of attention. So media people always want attention no matter what they tell you.
Oh, yeah.
So that means that he's going to have a lot of attention. The second thing is, though, is that it's a good story. If he does fall to the fifth round, and he does at some point play this year, and he hits well, and he does well, and these are great passes, and he throws for, as Jason said, 302 touchdowns, and I'm in here whooping it up, and Owen was doing the great impression of me yesterday, I think that people root for that. One, because I think most people in Cleveland media are Cleveland-based. They're from here. I know that the journalists try to not be fans of the team, fine, but they're still covering a team that they rooted for at one point when they were fans of football, just pure fans of the game and fans of the team. I think there's a little bit of tinge in there. And two, again, for the story of it, for the fifth round pick to come in, play well, take over the football team, and even for that matter for Dylan Gabriel as well, a guy who's undersized, a guy who comes with his own set of questions about whether or not he can lead a football team. If either one of those guys were to take over and you have two first-round picks in there, then all of a sudden the Myles Garrett conversation takes a totally different turn. And then it hits exactly what you just said about the future of the conversation with Myles Garrett. That becomes a big selling point for everybody. So, yeah, I do think that there's some media, yeah, that's going to be critical of some of the things that have happened already. But there's definitely people, I think, that in Cleveland media more than others who are probably rooting for Shador.
I think there are a lot of people who are rooting for Shador or Dylan Gabriel or somebody to be the franchise quarterback because, Ken, I think a lot of this, and I don't know how you feel. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm tired of the Browns not having a franchise quarterback. I'm tired of having the discussion about who could they draft, who could be the franchise quarterback. You know what I would love to do when I am happy to come in and fill in here? I would love to talk about how great our quarterback is. I would love to do that because I've been doing this for 10 years. I've never done it.
I'd like to be able to compare him with Lamar and Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Mahomes, I don't know about that. But in that second tier are really great quarterbacks there. Maybe Lamar's probably ahead of that. But
Yeah.
In that second tier of quarterbacks that are great, I'd like to be able to compare him. I'd like to be able to compare him with other good quarterbacks in the AFC North. I'd like to be able to do that. That's my goal for right now.
I would take comparing him to Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers.
That'd be a nice goal.
I would take that.
That'd be a nice comparison. And,
like,
nice goal
and I don't think he's on the level of the other guys you mentioned in terms of Lamar and Burrow. Like, he's not there, but I would just be thrilled with that.
That's fair.
So much can happen around the globe that we never hear of.
I really share in our fans' disappointment, frustration. Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
They've been through some tough battles, right? They know what the playoffs looks like. This team's been battle-tested in the playoffs.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Piece of crap. The kid, he sucked. He's sucked his whole career.
I got rumors about him. I couldn't please his wife, so now he's divorced.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
One of the big talks that came in the aftermath of the Kevin Durant to Rockets deal was the possibility that the Cavs were a wild card team before the official trade was announced. Now this is from Kevin O'Connor yesterday. We played some audio from him earlier in the show. This is new audio regarding the Cavaliers and Kenny Atkinson's comments earlier during the playoff run and the front office's potential need for change.
Kenny Atkinson, within a minute, basically unprompted on the podium after they got eliminated, was talking about the force and the speed and the physicality of the Pacers compared to his team, where he's like, we're lacking that. And it's partially a physical thing, but it's also a mental thing. And I think Atkinson and that front office led by Kobe Altman, they're looking for some big changes because they're trying to capitalize on what they have. And they know they can't just run it back with this core.
This, of course, coming on the possibility that Garland may have been involved in the talks for Durant, according to O'Connor.
Well, I think you make that decision because it's Kevin Durant. And Danny, I'll acquiesce to you here in a second. But I remember we talked about those comments after that game against Indiana. I think he's sending a message to his own team. I don't know if they can just sign off on making big sweeping changes because, again, they can barely make any big sweeping changes. They don't have first-round picks until, like, 2031 or something like that. So what changes can I make with a couple of second-round picks coming up at the end of the week? What can I actually do? Not much.
It's so easy to say they need to make these big changes, and then when you talk about what the changes actually could be and what are realistic things, it's hard to come up with them because they're very hamstrung by the fact that they don't have the draft capital to send out and the fact that they are limited – in terms of how they can send contracts out because of the second apron.
I'm sure you could have given up Darius Garland for a 35-year-old Jrue Holiday. I'm sure you could have done that. I don't know. I think that some people would be for that right now. And I think once they tipped off in October, I think some people go, oh my God, I can't believe what we've done.
I think that would have been a very bad idea and very short-sighted.
Tell my co-host about that every damn day, who kept bringing up Jrue Holiday. Every damn day, it was Jrue Holiday this and Jrue Holiday that. I'm like, what am I missing with Jrue? Almost said Jrue effing Holiday. What am I missing with Jrue Holiday here?
I mean, he's a winner. He's a good player, but he's not somebody. He cannot carry the offensive load that the Cavs need. Like, that is the thing that gets lost here. The Cavs' problems in the postseason have been on offense. Jrue Holiday does not make them a better offensive team. They need to be able to score the basketball more efficiently in the postseason. That's what matters. That is what needs to be better. Mm. Darius Garland, I think, is part of the solution there, not the problem.
Well, I'm happy you guys got into this conversation about Jrue Holiday, because that was my next topic, regarding the trade that was made between the Celtics and Blazers last night. Holiday going to Portland in exchange for 26-year-old Anthony Simons and two second-round draft picks. This takes $72 million off the Celtics' shoulders for next year. Holiday, I didn't realize, we said he's 35 before, so he's older in terms of NBA players, going into his 17th NBA season. I could not believe that.
That is a hell of a thing.
It is. And I don't know what he's going to be moving forward. He's still a good player. He's a very expensive player. And he's somebody that I do think will help Portland in the short term. They want to be better. They want to be a team that's competing to be in the play-in in the Western Conference, which I think is a fair expectation for them. I do like this for Boston, though, because Anthony Simons is going to come in. He's going to shoot a lot of threes, which the Boston Celtics do. He's a better shooter than Jrue Holiday on a much higher volume than Jrue Holiday. I think he's going to be a guy that if you want to buy stock in somebody, he's somebody that I would look at. He could score 25 a game for the Celtics next year without Jason Tatum being able to play.
Totally agree.
Going from the NBA to Major League Baseball briefly here. Last night, yesterday, actually, we had Jim Bowden on yesterday on the morning show, and he floated the idea of the Guardians potentially trading back for Josh Naylor from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Well, last night over at Rate Field, Diamondbacks versus White Sox, that idea may not come to fruition after this.
There's another. Oh, yeah, he's hurting. Yep. He's hurt. Naylor's not right. You could tell as soon as the ball left that bat that he's in discomfort.
Josh Naylor has had to leave the game with an apparent injury.
It was in the fourth inning there. Naylor, though, expected to miss the injured list, according to reports. But, yeah, he was dealing with something in his leg. They said it was all taped up. They had something wrong with his shoulder. He was, like, hacking away, and he looked like he was in pain while doing so. It was rough, man.
He's not coming back.
Why would that be a thing?
Jim Bowden said it yesterday, and for somehow we took hell over it. Like we had said, I didn't say it. Jim Bowden said it. He's a former Major League Baseball general manager, which I was getting texts from baseball people. Had to dust those texts off, but yeah, I was getting texts going, he's saying what? I'm going, hey man, he said it. What do you want me to do? You want me to yell at him right there and say we can't trade for Josh Naylor because he can't play DH?
I don't understand the line of thinking about him coming back to Cleveland.
I don't understand
it either.
Like,
he's not been great in Arizona. He's basically been Carlos Santana.
But baseball fans got in, and I'm like, well, don't kill me for it. I didn't say it. Damn. I was surprised, too.
Makes no sense to me.
I mean,
him was still the right move.
He is batting .303 on the season, which is higher, you know, comparative to some of his previous numbers. 9 home runs on the year, 51 RBIs. I did say last year was going to be the peak of him. I might have been wrong after that, but it just still doesn't make sense.
If he misses significant time at all, then, and I know you said he avoids the IL, but if he misses any more significant time, then, well, maybe it is. I mean, there comes a point where, like, if you're going to get injured, and he is often injured, yeah, you got to think about what his future is going to be, and it isn't really a discussion about trading back for him. I understand that. Maybe Jim just didn't see the roster clearly of what it is, and maybe he thinks David Fry is going to be throwing sooner. I don't know, but it's probably for the best for everybody. Even though I got to tell you, he does not look as happy in Arizona as he does in Cleveland. There's been a back and forth about
happy.
Well, no, I think he's looked thrilled in Cleveland before. Downright psychotic.
Psychotic, yes. I think psychotic is probably the way that I would
act like a psycho. You got to be.
I don't know, man.
Fun.
Go look at some Diamondbacks fans accounts, which there's not that many, but they think he looks pretty happy there. there's a lot of love for him there.
I found
looking
one
through this injury thing and trying to. I mean, there's a couple accounts that were devastated by him going down last night and them talking about how great he's been on this on their roster.
When did he hit the walk-off?
Last week?
Yeah, okay, last week ago.
Because I woke up and it was like 3 a.m. and that's where I got the, from those accounts. Like, he hates it here. I swear to God.
A still image. Yeah, still image from their post-game show that he was on, I believe.
Why he just didn't seem to be very thrilled
with
having water
dumped on him.
Post
games, too, for the last two seasons.
Yeah.
Very.
He's a mercurial figure.
Sorry about that. Well, finally, here we had the story.
Why are you apologizing?
No.
I had a pause there. Finally, we had the Tyrese Haliburton post from yesterday addressing his Achilles injury. Had a quote here where she said, "I do it again and again after that," unquote, which led some people to kind of respond, you know, with all the talks that we've had about the calf injuries and how they may be the new concussions of the NBA. Different, of course. I mean, he's saying, like, guys, don't feel bad for me. I would have done it again and again and again at that point, even though it's such a terrifying injury to have.
People feel bad regardless. I mean, you can feel bad for a guy being hurt, and I'm glad that he said he'd do it again because, that's what you're there for. I think the mental anguish of not knowing. Like, he could have stayed out and gotten better and watched his team lose because his team didn't have a chance without him.
Right.
He could have sat there and gotten better. And there'd be a lot of people who'd be okay with it, but they don't find themselves in his shoes. You don't know if you're ever going to get back there. And if you don't ever get back there, you're always going to wonder, what if? So I understand that there's a lot of physical pain, and it's a long road back, but it's still better than the road you could have taken.
I feel bad because if this were March, he would have been nowhere near a basketball floor, and he wouldn't be hurt like this. This is the only situation where he's playing through this, and I feel bad because of that. But he had to play through this. This was the right call.
Yeah, had to do what he had to do.
That's it for About Last Night.
Outstanding as always.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.